Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. Thank you, everybody who has made this evening a possibility. I want you to understand this is a great group effort, and it is truly a delight to be here. But I have to make a confession as a pastor. I hate Christmas. That's going to be shocking to some of you. But the amount of work that this time of year takes, the amount of gumption it takes to produce this message, the amount of just weight on everyone's shoulders, I hate it. And I love it at the same time. I'm exhausted. I really am. And the amazing thing is, right after tonight, I have a 4.5-hour road trip to upstate New York to see my family. Yeah. And I don't know about you. I'm tired. Past couple of years have taken a lot out of us, haven't they? And maybe as you're looking at the world around you, you're starting to wonder, is there really any hope? Wow, what a great message for the pastor to bring on Christmas. You know, this guy's a downer. Well, fortunately, there is good news of great joy. I want you to know that that's what Christmas is all about. Because as I sat down and I thought, Lord, what in the world am I going to say about Christmas that these people haven't heard 100,000 times before? Because, I mean, let's be honest. How many times can you preach a message about Christmas? How many of you have heard a completely novel message about Christmas recently? Nah, right? Not unless you haven't been here for a few years, right? Or you've only been here for a few years. But that's the amazing thing about Christmas. Every year it catches me by surprise. I love that there was actually a theme that went through these songs. We didn't coordinate that, by the way. That this world is dark, that there is no hope for us in it, that there is nothing that this world has to offer that's going to satisfy all that our hearts are longing. That's because what our hearts are longing for is beyond this world. And it took heaven breaking into earth for us to finally get it. In Luke chapter 2, it's a familiar Christmas story. I want to read it to you again, because if you can watch the same Christmas movies for the 50th time this year, you can listen to this story once again, okay? Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says, "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" Good news of great joy. And I want to look back at what the angel said to them. "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." He has to start off with saying, "Fear not." They are shocked by the presence of this angel, but I'm curious if there wasn't a little tongue-in-cheek going on here. Shepherds in an oppressed country, they were not exactly of the high economic class, probably had a lot to be afraid of. What if the flock doesn't do well this year? It's winter. We don't have enough harvested for them. How are we going to make it? Rome is demanding every penny we have. fear not. See, this is news that they weren't necessarily ready for, at least not in the way that it was going to come. The angel actually has to start off with assuaging their fears. They had to be braced for it. See, when God steps into our world, sometimes it's often in the small, the subtle, and the mundane, right? The very little things in our minds. But there are sometimes when he steps in and he has to say, look, what I'm about to do, don't be afraid, okay? It's going to be startling. It's going to be unsettling, but I promise you, it's going to be good. Sometimes God has to do that. It might not feel safe, but we are never more secure than when God is acting in our lives. Humanity has nothing to fear when God is acting in his grace. And after calming the shepherd's fear, the angel declares what God is doing. He says, I bring you good news of great joy. Good news, he actually says, in one word, I'm going to give you good news. In one word is euangelizo, from which we get the word evangelize. He's saying, I'm going to gospelize you for a second. I'm going to tell you some good news that's going to bring you great joy. And it's not just culturally insignificant either, because in that day and age, anytime an emperor came in or a king came in that had conquered, there would be a herald coming before him saying, the king is here, the king is here, celebrate the king, and try to be the hype man for the king to get everybody excited for him, these people that had just been conquered. Although the angel didn't have to do that, it took one angel saying good news, and automatically there was rejoicing throughout the land. Because the king was here, the deliverer. That applied to Emperor Augustus with a report of good news when he was born as the arrival of a savior. And the way Luke records this, he wants us to bring this back for us. That this is important for us to see. That this is why all people can be filled with joy, because this is the presence not of a conquering king, but a Savior in the form of a baby, far greater than any human ruler. He's not just a king, he's the King of Kings. Jesus may have been lying in an animal trough, but all of heaven, the full Godhead, was present with him there. That is part of the good news of great joy. It says it will be for all the people. The angel says that this is for all the people. By the way, we're going to see in a moment that includes you and me. The angel didn't promise good news just for the Jews, although they were the only ones anticipating this news. It wasn't just for Christians, although they would be the ones to most benefit from it. And it wouldn't only be those in war-torn countries, but those in peace. It wouldn't just be good news for those who are starving in poverty, but those who are in a well-to-do society as well. And it wouldn't just be for those with diseases, but those who are in good health. And it wouldn't just be for those who are abused, but also the abuser. It is good news for all the people. For all. And technically, all the people. Who are the people? Whenever the Bible talks about the people, it's talking about the people of God. Who is that? Just Israel? Just the church? No. All those who have been awaiting this promise, because here's the truth of it. The news comes after this to the people. And here's what happens. Jerusalem is upset at the news. They're upset at the report this angel brings, that there is a king who's been born. Herod gets upset, then the people get upset. It says it's for all people. What about this? What if all the people were simply those who are looking forward to the good news of the coming king, the deliverer, the one who is born? Either looking forward to it or, as we know today, looking back to it. It says for all the people. What sort of news would be good news for all the people? He says, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. He uses three terms to describe this good news. Savior, Christ, Lord. Savior means deliverer, rescuer. It was a term used for doctors who resuscitated people. It was used for philosophers who had delivered people from bondage. It was used for economic and political leaders. All sorts of figures were called saviors. A rescuer. But this says more about the people to whom this baby is born than it does just about the baby. Yes, he was a rescuer, but it says something about us. That we here tonight need a rescuer. We need a deliverer. Maybe you're unsettled right now with the world around you. Good. Because that lets you know you need a rescuer too. All of us do. None of us can save ourselves from the world around us. And the world certainly isn't going to give us the answers we need. We've tried for thousands of years, haven't had much success yet. We've gotten better, but still not perfect. It says we need a rescue. See, this is the difference between good news and good advice. What I'm talking about is good news. Good advice is a professor. How many of you are college students or high school students? You just took finals. Or you're in the process of finals, all right? So your professor, your teacher says, hey, you need to study for your finals. You need to read this passage in your book. You need to go over the rubric. You might want to look into this subject. That's good advice, right? Because there's going to be a final. Good news is when you wake up, you realize you haven't studied for that final. You have no clue what's going on. And you walk into that classroom and the professor says, don't worry, I'll take the test for you. That's good news. And friends, that's exactly what Christ did for us. He said, look, you are not going to be able to pass the test. Not one of us is perfect. Not one of us. There is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You, me, everyone. That's why God says, that's my test. You have to be perfect. Since you can't do that, I'll take the test for you. That is good news. We have a rescuer, because we can't rescue ourselves. We have a rescuer, and that rescue is called Christ. That Savior is called Christ, and that term literally means anointed one. It correlated to the Old Testament word Messiah, Mashiach. It was one who was anointed, and you would only anoint a prophet or a king, one who had been chosen to a specific task. And this child, this Christ, this Savior, he was a chosen one. We have received his chosen one. And the very fact that Luke refers to him this way, that angels refer to him this way, shows that it is so closely related to who he is that it has become part of his name, Jesus the Christ. See, sometimes we think Jesus Christ was his full name, right? Like John Smith, Jesus Christ. Actually, he would have been Yeshua ben Yosef. That was his name. But we know him as Jesus Christ because he is the anointed one, the chosen one, the deliverer. We have received his chosen one, but then it goes on to say the Lord. Well, many people have been chosen ones, prophets, kings, but only one can be called the Lord, God himself. Many have been called a Lord, but the Lord, different story. See, of the three titles, this one is left unexplained here because this story doesn't stop with a baby in a manger. In order to understand how Jesus is Lord, and that just means boss, master, ruler, leader, the one who is in control, in order for you to understand that, you've got to read the whole book of Luke and then his sequel, the book of Acts, to see how he deserves that title. That we can declare him our Lord. It's above all by the resurrection that this baby born to Mary is demonstrated as Lord, that he is the conqueror even over death itself. Although this verse indicates that from his conception, he was already Lord. From that point, he didn't have to prove anything. It was just evidenced. The use of the title Lord indicates that Luke understood Jesus is standing on a different level from the others. He is the Lord. He, like God, is deserving of the title Lord because he is God in the flesh. That's what Emmanuel means. God with us. He is ruler over all. The good news is he's a benevolent ruler. He's not out for what he can get from you. He's not out to destroy you. He is here to help you. He's here because he cares. See, the only proper response to such a revelation is rejoicing and celebration. That's why we have this celebration. That's why we make Jubilee once a year. And the angel gave the great news of God's arrival on earth. Suddenly, once he did that, all of heaven broke open and the armies came in rejoicing and said, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." This announcement of the child's arrival to everyday folk, it shows us something. This is to shepherds. They got a heavenly concert. You're hearing some great music tonight, let me be very clear. But that is nothing compared to what the angels can do, amen? Those of you that sang, I'm not insulting you, right? If I am, I'm so sorry. Please don't give me a lump of coal tomorrow, all right? Because the reality is, it wasn't about who they were singing to, but who they were singing about. Who they were praising. They say, "Glory to God in the highest." The Messiah had been born. This is the crux of all history. This joyous moment. The good news about Jesus is that he comes to all types of people. It doesn't matter what your status is, what your ethnic background is. It doesn't even matter if you root for the Steelers or the Eagles. Better be the Steelers. It's about the fact that he came to you. That he came with good news of great joy. That thing, whatever it is that was weighing you down when you walked in this evening. Whatever it is that's been occupying your mind. It is not forever. There's a deliverer who has come. There is a Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. And he has come to deliver you from all that. Man, when we see it this way, that brings peace to whomever God is pleased to give it. Peace among those with whom he is pleased. That is good news of great joy. All you have been searching for is found in him. All you've been hungering for is satisfied in the one who made all things. Every wound you have been waiting to have healed is mended in the hands of the great physician. The loneliness you've been sensing can be warmed with the ever-present one. There's no place you can be that he is not. And the guilt that has been weighing down on you is lifted by the grace he would bring. See, Christmas doesn't stop. The story of Christmas goes on. It goes on to Easter, Good Friday and Easter. And one day when we hear a trumpet, it'll finally all be over. All of this will be worth it. As Paul puts it, this light momentary affliction. Read his life. You and I would not describe it as light momentary affliction. He says this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory that is not worth comparing to anything in this life. That is our hope and joy at Christmas. It is this day. This is the day you have been waiting for. This is the day of good news, of great joy. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation. Who says to Zion, "Your God reigns." The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice. Together they sing for joy, for eye to eye they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Friends, God still reigns. Let that be our hope and joy this Christmas. May you have a very Merry Christmas. Looking forward to seeing you all next year.